welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, "Hey, why are you drunk at the temple?"
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, you guys. Thanks for coming on and listening to Hannah's Heart. This is Anne that you're hearing today. And Kendra is not in studio with us today. At the time of this recording, she just had her second miracle baby just the other day. And so she is at home enjoying that sweet little love. And we will have her on again sometime in the next little while. And she can introduce y'all to her sweet baby that she just had. And so it's just me here in the studio today. I feel way more comfortable when Kendra's sitting beside me. But I'm so excited for her and for Eric, and just y'all be in prayer for her family as they get used to another sweet baby and a toddler running around. And we are just so excited for them. I do have on a special guest, though. I have followed this girl's story, goodness, since, oh man, a long time. I was still in the depths of infertility, wondering if I was ever going to have kiddos running around my house at the time that I started following her story. And she has just been a light to me and inspiring. And she doesn't even know these things, but my mom follows her, my sisters follow her. And just because she can bring some humor to the situation sometimes, and also just continue to direct you to follow the Lord in the most wonderful of times and in the most hardest times. So her name is Dani, and she is on the phone with us right now.
Hello.
Hey, I know that this has to feel so odd for you, maybe because you don't know anything about me, but I feel like I know a good bit about you.
So funny. I've actually met a couple people who've been like, "Oh, I follow you on Instagram and I basically know your whole life, but nice to meet you." And I'm like, "Oh, well, hello."
Yeah, I'm like, I know her little boy, her husband, you know, all the things. But no, I mean, what I was saying in the intro, you know, is so true about you, because there's so many videos that do make you laugh, and then there's so many videos that can make you cry, and just the way that you continue, you know, we'll get into your story, but continue to, you know, walk through infertility, you know, and have experienced loss and all of that, but still point people to Jesus just is so inspiring. And I thank you for that, because I know that that can be hard, and that's not always easy.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Well, do you want to just get started in? Just maybe start off with telling us about your family and what that looks like, and then we'll kind of maybe go back and start off with, you know, we'll get into the infertility story after that.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, my name's Dani. I am 33 years old. I am married to my best friend. His name's Nick. We've been actually going to be celebrating our 10-year anniversary, wedding anniversary in March, but together for 14 years. Met him when I was 19 years old. He is a firefighter and in the Army National Guard, and we've been trying for a baby since 2017. We were just, you know, your typical couple who thought it was going to happen for us, like, right away.
Right.
At the time, I was actually professionally cheering for the Arizona Cardinals, and I decided to stop right when we started trying, because, again, I thought it was just going to happen for us. And then here we are 8 years later, and
wow,
we've had one pregnancy along the way that we unfortunately lost 8 weeks in, but about halfway through our infertility journey, so 4 years ago, I'll make it short just so we can get into it later, but we came across a little boy who was almost 3 years old and and needed a family to go to. So we decided to adopt him. And so we have been able to become parents along the way, but are still currently trying for a biological child in the meantime. And just kind of, just like living our life and trying to trust God and his will for our life and trying to stay obedient to that. And our little guy is 7 now. He's in first grade. It's wild to think of how big he is now. Just sharing my story and my faith and everything on Instagram for the last, since 2018. It's definitely been a wild ride, and I did not expect for it to turn into what it is. But God has definitely moved in that space, and I'm just really grateful to know that he's used my pain and our situation for something far greater than I could have ever thought. So it's been a journey for real.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so you, you talked about that you did not expect, to walk through infertility. We were the same, and I didn't realize y'all started trying. That was the same year that my husband and I started trying to have a baby. And yeah, it was kind of after that year in 2018, we got hit in the face with, PCOS, endometriosis, that kind of thing, and realizing, like, oh, okay, we don't know anything about, I didn't even know the verbiage, I had to learn so much. What happened there? How did you figure out that this was going to be maybe a hard thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, sounds kind of similar to your situation. We started trying in October of 2017, and I started going to an OBGYN quite early because I just had this gut feeling that something was off. I mean, we were both young and healthy, all the normal things that doctors say, like, oh, yeah, you're young and healthy, it should work. So it wasn't working. So I'm like, okay, something's weird. And I started going to an OBGYN. They, oddly enough, just instantly started putting me on Clomid, which looking back, I think that's kind of strange that was like just very quick for them to throw at me. But I started doing Clomid for about 5 rounds. And I was ovulating successfully, but obviously just not achieving pregnancy. So after about 5 rounds, I was like, okay, this is not working. I think I'm going to go get a second opinion. And I went to a new OBGYN, and the first ultrasound they saw, I had a large cyst on my ovary, which they believed was an endometrioma, which would need to be removed by surgery, and also alluded to the fact that I probably had endometriosis, even though I did not have any of like the telltale signs of endometriosis other than infertility. But I went in for a surgery in June of 2018, and sure enough, it was an endometrioma, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 endometriosis. And again, I woke up and I was like, I don't even know what any of this is or what that means for me. So I just became a student of the disease, and I was just like, okay, what do I need to do to help, eliminate this the best that I can? Obviously, I know there's no cure. It's just, trying to sustain it as much as you can, or not sustain it, I guess, suppress it is what I was trying to say, as much as you can. And so, and then unfortunately, right when I had that surgery, like a week later, my husband Nick deployed overseas for a year.
Oh my God.
So we had to take a break from trying, which was really good for me mentally and physically, I feel like. But if anyone knows, like with endometriosis after a removal, it's like your highest chance of achieving pregnancy because that endo had just been removed from your body. So we kind of missed that window with him being gone. And when he got home, we tried for about 10 months and decided at that point, like if we didn't achieve pregnancy, we were probably going to go talk to maybe like a reproductive endocrinologist. And I was coming up on that 10 months and really would just began praying of like what I was supposed to do. I felt like at this crossroads, I really didn't want to try IUI or IVF. Not against that by any means, but just didn't feel that calling. And so coming to the end of that 10 months, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do next. So I really just started praying for direction. And like, I just kept saying like, God, just give me a sign. If you feel like you're being clear to me, I remember verbally saying this, like, I do not feel like you're being clear. So I need you to be even more clear to tell me what I should be doing next, because as of right now, I just do not know. So at that point, I had only been diagnosed with the stage 4 endometriosis, and that at that point was the only thing that I was thinking was our main culprit. And then Levi came along, which is the little boy that we ended up adopting. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you want me to jump into that next.
Sure. Or,
okay, just go for it.
Okay.
So I thought it was interesting. Like I said, I was praying specifically for God to just for discernment and for direction on where to go next in our journey. I was praying that for probably about a month or two, specifically over and over again, just, you know, coming to him and saying, hey, I need you to be clear with what's next. And so that was about February, March, April timeframe of 2020. And I actually ended up getting a call from a friend of mine, a mutual friend, who knew of our situation and basically had known someone who had known someone, kind of one of those stories where she found out that there was a little boy who had previously been adopted, and to not go into specifics of his story, but basically they were no longer able to care for him and were looking for a new family for him, or were going to put him back into the system, basically. And she sent his story and a little picture of him. And at the time, my husband and I were, that was 4 years in to our journey. But like I said, we had not tried really any other treatment. And adoption was like really not even a discussion at that point. Like there was still so much we wanted to try and figure out. And I was just not on our hearts at the moment, honestly. But as soon as I saw his picture and his story, I brought it to my husband, and I thought it was just going to be one of those things that we were like, oh, like, you know, that's a sad situation. And gosh, like, I hope that there's someone who can take him. And my husband looked up at me, and his very first words to me, I'll never forget it. He said, let's go get him.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, what? And I thought he might have been joking, because my husband is very, he's not someone who just like makes rash decisions.
Wow.
He's very calculated and, you know, like he's just not impulsive in that sense. And so it was kind of out of character for him. And I thought he was kind of joking, but he was like, I'm being dead serious. Like we're
oh my goodness. Like, I have chills all over.
Well, I was just like shaking, and I was like, wait, what? Like this is happening. So we ended up getting the contact information, and it was a little bizarre because it was like we were calling the family he was with, and we're like, hi, like, is the little kiddo you have still available? Like, it was weird. It was like I was calling, like, a Craigslist, like, ad. Like, is this child still available? But, that was, like, the reality of it, because I had been told that there were other families, like, going to meet him and stuff. It was just a weird situation, but they were like, yeah, he's still here, like still needing a family. And so we set up a time to go meet him. And we went and met him on May 1st, but this is where it gets super crazy. So from that phone call to the time of meeting him was a span of 3 days. In those 3 days, I was like sick to my stomach. I was like, oh my gosh, this is just a wild situation, like thrown at us. And I don't know if this is what, like, we're supposed to be doing. And it's funny looking back, because for those 2 months prior, mm-hmm. I'm praying, like, God, give me a sign, give me direction. And here this little boy basically falls into our lap, and I'm still questioning, like, God, is this really what you're saying? And that goes back to all the way back in Genesis.
Right.
Like, did God really say? Like, it was completely the enemy making me question. Like,
for sure.
And looking back at that now, I can see that, and it's just, like, laughable, because I'm like, gosh, I want to shake myself, like, hello, like, yes, that was God, like, telling you exactly what you were asking for. And so we got the address, and when you, I don't know if you have an iPhone, but when you get an address on an iPhone, it comes in as a link, you know, and then mm-hmm. you click the link and it opens up on your app. So we got the address. It was sent to my husband's phone. We knew the general vicinity that he was in, like the city and whatnot. So we knew where to go in sense of like direction to the city. So my husband clicked the link and had Siri like guide us to where we were going. We were listening to a sermon on the way, and which was another just like God moment, a perfect sermon for like our situation in that moment. And it was just more of just God speaking to me through that. And we get close to entering the neighborhood. So we turn off the sermon and it's just Siri's voice guiding us through the neighborhood. And, you know, when she's like at the end of her directions and she's always like, oh, like your destination is on the right. You know, mm-hmm. how she says something like that. Well, we're driving through the neighborhood and all of a sudden she basically says, you're going like in 0.2 miles, you're going to make a left turn on Lord's Way.
Oh, my word.
Your destination is on the left-hand side. And I, like, my head just snaps to my husband, and I'm like, did she just say Lord's Way? And I grab his phone, and sure enough, the street that this little boy was waiting for us on after I had been praying for months and specifically for days, like, God, is this the direction you're asking us to go? I need a sign. I need you to make this so abundantly clear to me that I just have no room for question. And he was waiting for us on a street called Lord's Way.
Oh, my word.
I just like started bawling my eyes out in the car before we even met him because I was like, I knew like this was it. Like I'm about to go meet like my son pretty much before even meeting him. Like it was just so, like I said, abundantly clear that God had this little boy there for us.
Yeah, you can't get much clearer than that. Oh my goodness.
No, it just was one of those things that like looking back, I'm like, man, you know, there's oftentimes I think people like ask, you know, when has there been a time in your life when you've like really felt God or like feel like you like really have encountered Jesus? And like that is such a standout moment for me. Like I start like getting emotional, but like I feel like that is a moment in my life that I'll never ever forget, that like God truly like met me where I was and like and was able to just make something so clear that he was like, hey, I hear you, and I want you to know that, like, I am answering this for you, and there's no question about it. And so what a just special moment. And we, after we left, I ended up going on Etsy, and I purchased a street sign that says Lord's Way, and now it hangs above his window in his bedroom just as a reminder that, like, this was all part of his plan and direction and will for our life. So it's really special.
Yeah, I love that that's such a special thing, because I know when I was walking through infertility, you always do. We have adopted through foster care, and so our story of adopting our son looks different, but you wonder, you want to have a special day, you know what I mean? You would to go have a baby, you know, like that's a big day, a special day. And so just hearing that story, like how the Lord redeemed that day and just made it that special, you know, I just feel like we call them God winks around here, you know, like it's just like you were saying, like God is listening. He really, really is. Sometimes I feel like those signs are stronger than others, and that's awesome. I love that story. Thank you for sharing that with us. So you go, and I don't guess he came home with you that day. Did he stay with other family for a little longer?
He actually, that was on May 1st of 2020, and he was living with us by May 20th of 2020. Oh. So 20 days after meeting him, we were parents to an almost three-year-old.
Oh, my
goodness.
During
the middle of a pandemic, it was a wild time of life.
Yep, that is wild. Three-year-olds are their own little characters anyway. I got one at home, so... in the middle of a pandemic, so I'm sure, which you don't have to get into all of that, but I'm sure that came with wonderful things but also many challenges with a three-year-old in a new home and all kinds of new routines and schedules and stuff. So after that, you know, you getting used to him and him getting used to y'all, what did that look like?
I feel like it was one of those situations where I think he was so hungry for attachment. The situation prior to us wasn't super healthy. And so he just blended right into our life, like so seamlessly. And it felt a little like bizarre. I was like, man, this just feels too easy. And he was almost three. And so it was kind of wild because I feel like 3-year-old at that point in your life, like you would know if you're leaving, like your mom and your dad. Mm-hmm. But he never brought up the family prior, and he just was so like, well, you're my mom and dad, and there was no question ever. And still to this day, like, he just doesn't ever go backwards past that point. It's just, you know, it's almost like God, like, prepared his heart for that too, like, unknowingly, and like, he just kind of morphed right into our life. So, like I said, seamlessly. And so we did the whole adoption process after he was already living with us, which is also kind of different. But we ended up adopting him officially in April of 2021. And then along the way, we've, you know, had some like little hiccups here and there, and just some trauma response and behaviors and things that have kind of surfaced over the years that we go to therapy and things like that to just kind of help him and help us as a family. But all in all, like, as a whole, like, it really was so seamless and so, like, just felt really meant to be. And another thing that just, this makes me think of it, is another thing that was kind of like you said, a little God wink, is his name was Levi when we got him. We kept his name. And when I looked up the meaning of Levi, it means joined in harmony.
Oh.
And so that was just another like, wow. And that's really kind of what it felt like. It was just like he joined us, and it was just this beautiful, like, redemptive thing for both of us. Obviously, lots of brokenness on both sides, but it was kind of like we helped kind of heal each other in that sense, you know?
Mm, yeah, that's amazing. So after, you know, he's adopted in 21, and y'all have continued to desire a biological baby of your own. And so what does that look like, you know, still going through that?
So we ended up going to a NAPRO doctor in 2021. For those who may not know, NAPRO is natural procreation. It's just more of a natural approach to fertility treatments. I just have never, ever felt called to do IUI or IVF. So I was like, I really want to work with someone who is still like a professional, right, but I'm just not ready to go down that other route. So I felt like NAPRO was a really good like step for us. And I'm still currently working with the same doctor I've been with since 2021. But once I started going to her, along with the endometriosis, we found out I have something called LUS, which is luteinized unruptured follicle syndrome. So essentially what happens is my follicles grow like they should. And what is technically supposed to happen at a certain point is the follicle is supposed to mature to a certain size, and then it'll rupture, which would then you'd be ovulating, and that's how you get pregnant. But for me, we found out via ultrasound that my follicle would grow to the mature size, but then instead of rupturing, it would basically either just keep growing a little bit or just stop and never rupture, and then it would just disintegrate on its own. So essentially, I wasn't always ovulating because that follicle would just get kind of stuck. Like there was just some kind of miscommunication between follicle and brain. And they don't have a lot of reasoning as to why that happens. But our next step based off of that, those findings, were to kind of help my body ovulate. And so I've tried a couple different medications like letrozole. I've done small dose injections of HCG. I've also done trigger shots, which is just like a higher dose of HCG to get you to ovulate. And we've had success with all of those things. Like my body would ovulate every time you would do those, but just never achieved pregnancy. So it's one of those things where we kind of just were going round and round and round. Ended up having another big surgery for endo where we removed endo again because unfortunately it just, you know, like, you know, grows back.
Yeah.
And then 2022, I did a big, huge gut detox. I was just having lots of issues with my gut, probably from, you know, different medications. I was on an antibiotic for an infection in my uterus at some point. And just after that, things just kind of got weird with my stomach. And so we took a break from trying, and I did like a 6-month gut detox. And after I was finished with that, I was planning on going back to the doctor, but it was around Christmas time. And so I was like, let's just wait till the next cycle, and then we'll just try completely natural this cycle while it's the holidays and we kind of get back into the groove of things. And you know, God just did a miracle for us in that cycle. And our first cycle back, we saw our first positive pregnancy test we'd ever seen in 6.5 years. And it was 100% natural, which was wild after doing so many different things for years and years. And it was, again, one of the coolest things that I have experienced. But unfortunately, like I said earlier in the show, 8 weeks in, we were going in for our third ultrasound to hear the baby's heartbeat, and there no longer was one, which was just, yeah, something that no one ever wants to experience. And
I'm so sorry.
Doesn't feel real, honestly, sometimes still today.
Well, Danny, we are coming to the end of this show, but I would love to have you on again to finish telling us about the rest of your story and what this looks like after getting pregnant and then experiencing loss. This is the end of the show for today, you guys, but thank you so much for listening to Hannah's Heart, and stay tuned.